Well, good morning. As we're still all settling into our seats, I'll run through a few quick announcements before we really get going. Schedule for this week is today at 3:30 we'll be Lutheran Brethren Youth Fellowship like usual. And then on Wednesday will be our regular family fellowship night and kids Bible club. Hope to see you there for that. Thursday is the Young Ladies Bible Study over at Siska's, and followed by Friday will be the Strange Fire Bible Study at Dale Wilson's place, followed by our summer schedule still happening next Sunday with worship service at 10 and Lutheran Brethren Youth Fellowship at 3:30 next week as well. Speaking of summer schedule, that's coming to an end on September 13th. September 13th, we'll be starting Sunday school back up again. That'll begin at 9:30 in the morning with worship service beginning at 10:45. And on that same day, to kick off Sunday school, we'll be doing an ice cream social at 3 o'clock, September 13th. And during that time, we'll also be taking up a free will offering for the Lifeline Pregnancy Care Center, which does some incredible work in our community with those people with unplanned pregnancies who are considering abortion to guide them into life-affirming choices. And also they offer counseling for those who have had abortions. So they're doing incredible, incredible work there. So I invite you to prayerfully consider giving to that. Church of Lutheran Brethren Women's Retreat is coming up October 16th through 18th. That's going to be held at the Furs in Bellingham, Washington. Looks like there might be some carpooling going on, so talk to Shannon or Candy if you're interested in going to this. It's a wonderful time, but there is a deposit due, a $45 deposit due by the end of this month if you're interested in going. So consider that, ladies, if you want to go. Talk to Shannon or Candy to get that organized. There are pamphlets and posters on the bulletin board if you want to get a little more information about that. I do believe that's all I have for announcements this morning. Is there anything I've missed that needs to be announced today? Very good. Well, I'll share with you this morning a short video about a ministry opportunity that I found quite encouraging. Dr. Saji Lukas is a missionary to India. He was born in India, came to the United States for schooling, and has since gained a passion for reaching the lost in India. Some of you may know that India is a very spiritually dark country. Very few Christians there. The majority of the population is Hindu. They are also a country in which social injustices are not only common, but encouraged. They have a caste system that keeps the poor poorer and the rich rich. And if you take a look in your bulletin, you'll see a little flyer about Dr. Lukas and the ministry he has. And we'll share this video now, and you can take a look at some of the things this Reaching Indians Ministries International is doing.
India, a land of diversity. With a population of more than 1.2 billion and a geography that covers 2.4% of the Earth's surface, India dominates South Asia. It is a land that boasts a rich and complex history while remaining a world leader in areas of technology and commerce. Over 2,500 people groups, each with their own dialect of the 29 major languages, call India their home, making it the most ethnically diverse nation in the world. The bright, bold colors of ancient celebrations, sounds of bustling city streets, and aroma of a truly one-of-a-kind cuisine make India a paradise for the senses. Yet, in the midst of India's vibrant culture, disparity lies hidden beneath the surface. Over 800 million people live in poverty, making less than $2 per day. Diseases such as tuberculosis, malaria, and HIV, alongside poor sanitation, make daily life extremely difficult for millions of people. Nearly 1.7 million children die each year before the age of one due to lack of proper health care facilities, especially in rural areas. Hinduism remains the most commonly practiced religion. Less than 3% of India's population are Bible-believing Christians. India desperately longs for the light of Christ. In 1993, with a burden for this hurting nation, the Reverend Dr. Saji K. Lukos founded Reaching Indians Ministries International to reach unreached Indians in both India and worldwide with the love of Christ through indigenous missions. RIMI, known in India as Mission India, is based in Nagpur, central India, and serves three functions: evangelism and church planting, leadership development, and compassion ministries. The gospel of Jesus Christ is shared with unreached people groups by sending out trained national missionaries to establish house churches and live among the people they are evangelizing. Over 8,000 house churches have been formed with the goal of becoming self-supportive and to reproducing other national missionaries who will then repeat the process. Indigenous missionaries are trained in Mission India Bible colleges, located in most Indian states, and at Mission India Theological Seminary in Nagpur, central India. Students receive biblical and theological training in both the classroom and in the field, and are taught principles of evangelism and discipleship, along with essential leadership skills necessary to teach and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Currently, Mission India supports 1,300 missionaries and has equipped and sent over 5,000 indigenous leaders into India, Nepal, and Bhutan. In addition to preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, social and physical welfare must be addressed when evangelizing a nation. RIMI's compassion ministries include various community development programs, orphanages called Mercy Homes, and Helping Hand programs reach out to poor and orphan children throughout India. Currently, our 18 Mercy Homes are serving around 400 underprivileged children. Schools are established in various villages, providing the opportunity for underprivileged children to get an education. Hospitals and health clinics are also established in villages to provide health care for those who may not otherwise be able to afford it. Micro-business loans, job skill training, and literacy programs are also offered to empower individuals and strengthen communities.
By partnering with RIMI, you are transforming lives in South Asia and beyond. When you sponsor a child, or a Bible student, or a missionary, or a project, you are strategically joining with the mission of God. Thank you very much. God bless you.
I had a wonderful opportunity a couple weeks ago to meet Dr. Lukos, and he's one of those guys that you can't believe the enthusiasm and the energy he has for reaching the lost, and just infectious. And so if that sounds like a ministry that you think is doing good work, that you'd like to partner up with, you can see on the back table there's some more flyers. There's a couple books written by Dr. Lukos that are going to be added to our library. And I invite you to, again, prayerfully consider giving to this incredibly large, far-reaching ministry throughout the country of India. With that, we'll move on and begin our service this morning with our call to worship, which comes from Psalm 14, verse 7. And I'll invite you to please read along with me, Psalm 14, verse 7. Oh, that the salvation of Israel would come out of Zion. When the Lord restores his captive people, Jacob will rejoice, Israel will be glad. And praise be to God for the salvation of Israel that has now come out of Zion through Jesus Christ our Lord. I ask you, you can go ahead and remain seated and join us in our praise courses this morning. Thank you.
are beautiful beyond description, too marvelous for words, too wonderful for comprehension, like nothing ever seen or heard. Who can grasp your infinite wisdom? Who can fathom the depth of your love? You are beautiful beyond description, majesty enthroned above. And I stand in awe of you. I stand in awe of you. Holy God, to whom all praise is due, I stand in awe of you. You are beautiful beyond description, yet God crushed you for my sin. In agony and deep affliction, cut off that I might enter in. Who can grasp your tender compassion? Who can fathom this mercy so free? You are beautiful beyond description, Lamb of God who died for me. And I stand in awe of you. I stand in awe of you. Holy God, to whom all praise is due, I stand in awe of you. Let the earth resound with songs of praise to the Father's power and love, for the one who set his star in place chose to set his heart on us. To the one whose might is victory, yet whose mercies never cease, as the tapestry of history tells the story of his grace. King immortal, faithful God, crowned with splendor, rich in love, let the heavens and the earth resound with songs of praise to you. Let the earth be still before the sight of a Father's sacrifice that revealed the depths of the face of Jesus Christ. Through a life of full obedience and a death in agony, he removed the rebel's punishment and he set the prisoner free. King immortal, faithful God, crowned with splendor, rich in love, let the heavens and the earth resound songs of praise to you. Let the earth resound with songs of faith at the wonder yet to come, when all sin and pain are put to death and the church and Christ are one. When we stand as God's great family and we meet the Father's gaze and we share in joy as we join in ceaseless praise. King immortal, faithful God, crowned with splendor, rich in love, let the heavens and the earth resound with songs of praise to you. created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of men. You were here before the world began, above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders the world has ever known, above all treasures of the earth. There's no way to measure what you're worth. Crucified, laid behind the stone, you lived to die, rejected and alone, like a rock, trampled on the ground. You took the fall.
And our first hymn this morning is hymn number 16. Hymn number 16 is How Great Thou Art. I'll invite you to please rise as we sing hymn number 16 together.
Sweetly
Seated. And at this time, we invite John Austin up for our scripture reading this morning. Thanks, John.
Good morning. We'll be reading from Psalm 103. Great things happening in Ethiopia with the girls. They've contacted quite a few family members. A few of them they weren't even sure they could get a hold of. They have found Emily's grandfather and an uncle and her dad. And so that's just an amazing blessing, and it's been fun to talk to them about that. And we'd like your continued prayers for their safety and good travels. Today's also our 29th wedding anniversary. So if someone had said 29 years ago that we'd be celebrating this day apart, opposite ends of the globe, but knowing what I knew about Mare and her family and how watching her put our wedding together in 6 weeks, I might have said, well, I'm not too surprised. So we picked this out together, and I just want to say, Mayor might actually listen to this. Happy anniversary, and I love you, and thank you, Mayor. Let's do another 29. Psalm 103. Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being. Praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him, for he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it, and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones, who do his bidding, who obey his word. Praise the Lord, all his heavenly hosts, you his servants, who do his will. Praise the Lord, all his works, everywhere in his dominion. Praise the Lord, O my soul.
Thank you so much, John. You know, we never plan these things in advance, but more often than not, the scripture readings work so well with the sermons that come up later. You know, the patience of the Lord is something that we're going to hear about today. And in fact, we're going to hear about a time in Israel's history when the Lord's patience ran out. But then we're also going to hear the incredible promise and the incredible grace that follows regardless. So thank you. Thank you again, John. Well, we'll certainly, as John mentioned, be in prayer for the rest of the Austins as they're traveling and enjoying their time over there in Ethiopia. But prayer as a church body, prayer as brothers and sisters in Christ is just a wonderful gift that God gives us to pray together and to pray for each other and to share prayers with each other. So at this time, I'd like to hear if there are any specific prayer requests that we can share together this morning. Yes, Harvey. You bet. We've had a few firefighters losing their lives this year, battling the terrible wildfires that are going on out there. We'll certainly be in prayer for them and their families and all the safety of the firefighters that are still out there battling. Yes. Oh, wow. Wow. Yeah. We'll certainly keep Mike in our prayers. The smoke that settles into the valley is hard on a lot of people, and Mike's certainly one of them. So we'll be praying for him and others who are being troubled by that for sure. Well, very good. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Our most gracious and most awesome Heavenly Father, we come to you in prayer this morning, thanking you and praising your name. We thank you for your word that you have given to us to instruct us, to guide us, to teach us who you are and who we are in relationship to you. Lord, as we search your word, we find that it shows us to be sinners. We have failed to keep your commandments. We have failed to love our neighbor as ourselves. We have failed to love you with everything we've got. We failed in the things we do, the things we say, and the things we think. In these ways, we have sinned against you, Lord. And so we come to you, laying ourselves at your feet and pleading your mercy, which you have shown through your Son, Jesus Christ, who has died our death on the cross to pay in full the debt for our sin and has risen again to life to bring us justification before you. Lord, we thank you for this indescribable gift. Lord God, we do pray for Robin this morning as she is having surgery for and recovering from torn meniscus. Pray that you would heal her and strengthen her. We pray for Lydia and her family as they continue to mourn the loss of her son, Larry. We pray for those firefighters who are battling the wildfires right now. We pray that you would keep them safe. Keep them safe from harm and return them safely home. Lord, we pray for those who have been lost in these fires. We pray for their families as they mourn the firefighters who have died. We also pray for those whose livelihoods and homes are being threatened by these fires. We pray again for safety for them. Lord, we pray for Mike as he is struggling with the smoke that has settled into the valley. We pray that you would clear his lungs and help him to breathe. We pray that you would keep him healthy in the midst of all of this. We pray, likewise pray for all of those who are struggling with breathing problems during this time. Lord, we pray for Erin as she continues to recover from and struggle with this illness that has plagued her for so long. Lord, we pray for complete healing for her. Pray that you would strengthen her body and bring her back to health. Lord, we also pray for Oscar as he is sitting here with a foot that needs healed. Pray that you would knit those bones back together and heal him back up. We thank you, Lord, for returning him back to fellowship with us. And we thank you for keeping him safe in the midst of what could have been a much worse accident. Lord, we do also pray for our brothers and sisters around the world. Lord, you've brought to our attention this morning Christians in India, who are few and far between, but who also do face persecution for their faith. So we pray for them, and we pray for all of those whose lives and safety and health are in danger, just simply because they believe in you. Lord, we pray for protection for them. And we also pray for boldness, that your gospel would go forward and reach the lives of those who would seek to do them harm. Lord, we also pray for those who are imprisoned for your name. We again pray for persistence, for steadfastness, for comfort during their time locked up. And Lord, we pray for freedom for them. We pray for freedom for your gospel to go forward and change the lives and hearts and bring salvation to the enemies of your gospel. Lord, we do pray all these things in the name of our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, for special music this morning, we get to invite the men's chorus up, and me myself, because I'm in it. We'll be singing, if you'd like to follow along, we'll be singing hymn number 388.
Lay down my God.
Well, our next hymn this morning is hymn number 227. Hymn number 227 is At the Cross. I'll invite you to again please rise as you're able as we sing hymn number 227 together.
Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die? Would he devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Was it for crimes that I have done? He groaned upon the tree. Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Well might the sun in darkness hide and shut his glories in, when Christ the mighty Maker died for man the creature's sin. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. But drops of grief can ne'er repay the debt of love I owe. Here, Lord, I give myself away, 'tis all that I can do. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day.
Please be seated. And now we do get to worship God with the giving of our offerings. And now, kids, I invite you all to come up for our children's sermon this morning from Greg. Come on up, kids.
Spread out this morning. You don't have to sit that close. See, yeah, there you go. No, now we don't want to. Good. Thank you for coming up this morning. All right. Today, we are going to learn about a story where James, Peter, and John went up a mountain. Okay? But first, I want to ask you guys a question. Have you ever gone someplace and you don't want to leave? Yeah? You all have. Okay. I would say the same thing. Oh, yeah. I don't want to leave. Now, have you ever gone to a church activity and you don't want to leave? Yeah? Me too. What are some of the things? What are some of the things that make you want to stay? What are some of the things that make you want to stay? Staying with family and friends, okay. Staying with your friends. It's fun, right? You don't want to leave when it's fun, right? You know, you can talk to your parents. Ask your parents, have you ever gone someplace and you haven't wanted to leave? And then ask them also, have you gone to a church, something that's church-related and not wanted to leave? Because I think all of us could say, we've gone to a Bible study and said, wow, that was awesome. I just don't want to leave. We've gone to Bible camp and we've said, wow, this is great. I just don't want to leave. You know, a lot of times, the reason for that is because you get to go away from what you do every day. Homework is hard. Going to school, getting up in the morning, it's hard. You know, you talk to your parents, going to work, it's hard. Seeing all the trouble in the world, it's kind of discouraging. And so sometimes when you get to get away from that stuff, you don't want to go back to the stuff that you kind of have to work through. It's not always fun to go through the normal day, is it? Right? Not always. I mean, we have to do it. Well, guess what? Peter, James, and John are no different. But we're going to talk about this because I want you guys to think about this. The next time that you're at a church thing and you don't want to go home, that's not necessarily a good thing. All right, so let's talk about that. First of all, I want to read through a few verses. This is in Matthew, and this is the transfiguration. Have you heard that word? This is when Jesus went through the transfiguration. This is found in Matthew chapter 17. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. There, he was transfigured before them. What does transfigured mean? Listen. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. Just then, there appeared before them Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. You think that's something that the disciples saw every day? No. No. When did we last hear about Moses and Elijah? In the Old Testament, right? Yeah. Moses and Elijah have been dead for a long time. Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. That kind of sounds like what we said, huh? It's good for us to be here. It's fun to be here. Our friends are here. It makes me feel happy to be here. Okay, it's good to be here. If you wish, I will put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. And I was kind of looking through some different translations, and I've seen shelters, and one translation even said booths. So I'm not 100% sure if that's meant to be kind of a house or maybe like a little church or something like that. But Peter really wanted to stay there. While he was still speaking, a bright cloud enveloped them. And a voice from the cloud said, now this is something that they for sure don't see every day. This is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him. When the disciples heard this, they fell face down to the ground, terrified. But Jesus came and touched them. Get up, he said. Don't be afraid. When they looked up, they saw, and there was no one there except for Jesus. Now, would you want to leave if you got to see that? You would? They're saying, yes, yes, yes. Well, it sounds kind of scary to me. Okay. You know, maybe it is kind of scary to us. Peter didn't want to leave. He got to see Jesus in his heavenly glory. He got to see Moses. He got to see Elijah. He wanted to stay because he felt that while he was there, he was as close to God as he'd ever been. And he heard God talk. Now, was Peter close to God? Yes. He was. He'd never experienced anything like that before. Was he scared? Yeah. What did Peter, James, and John do? Fell face down. Now, I get scared and something like, ah! You know, I scream. I've never been so scared I just fall on my face. That is scared. But Peter knew, wow, God was here. I saw Jesus. He looks like he has a heavenly body. He looked like an angel. And I saw Moses and Elijah. I never want to leave this place. Why? Because Peter, he's a fisherman. Is Peter wealthy and famous? No. When Peter goes back down from that mountain, he's got to go back through some of the struggles that he has had. I mean, he's going to have sufferings again. He's going to have to go out there and fish. He was trying to avoid that. Now, it's not always bad for us to avoid something that's hard sometimes, right? But think about this. What if they had stayed on that mountaintop? Jesus hadn't died on the cross yet, had he? Jesus hadn't offered himself as a sacrifice yet. What if they stayed on the mountaintop after that experience and Jesus never offered himself as a sacrifice? Think of all the sinners who wouldn't be saved. What if Peter and James and John said, I'm staying here on this mountain. We're never coming down. Think of all the things that Peter, James, and John did. They were some of the key figures that started the new church. The very books in Scripture that we read some of our Bible stories out of. The very books that we read out of, Peter, James, and John wrote. Do you think it's important that we have those books? People who don't know Jesus today are being saved by the books that Peter, James, and John wrote. Now, Peter did something that was very, very smart. He asked Jesus first. He didn't just make the decision by himself. Sometimes we feel like we want to stay there because we want to avoid the sufferings and avoid the stuff that can hurt us or cause us challenges. But that's not what Jesus wants for us. When we learn and we get close to God, we want to take what we learn from that and go back out into the world because there is work that you and I can do, but we want to do it and make sure we talk to Jesus first, right? We're not doing it. It's not Greg's idea to go do what Greg wants. I want to take what I learned, and I want to take that down, and I want to help because the suffering that's down there is because of sin, isn't it? So we want to go down there and show people how to avoid that sin. And is there anything that we can do on earth? Let's say they stayed on that mountaintop. They tried to make it like heaven on earth. Do we want to go to heaven on earth? No. No, 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 no. That's a pretty small reward when it comes to heaven and heaven, isn't it? So think about it. The fun that you guys have and the Christian fellowship, which you guys love to do, the Christian fellowship that you like to have, doesn't have to stay in church. It doesn't have to stay at Bible study. Take that fellowship and the love that you have for each other and go out, and we want to share that with people around us. Just like mommies and daddies, we don't want to just stay there secure and, how do I say, we don't want to just be happy. We want to take what we learn and go out and tell people about Jesus, huh? So think about that, all right? We don't want to stay. This mountain, we can go up on a mountain and we can see a lot. We've talked about that, right? And the mountain is something that resembles Christ, but we don't want to just stand on the mountain and watch. No, we go to the mountain, we talk to Christ, and we learn, and we take that, and we come down the mountain, and we go out and reach those who are lost, right? So do we want to stay on top of the mountain all the time? No. Nope. We want to go down, because Jesus is with us. Even when we're facing trials and tribulations, Jesus is with us. So thank you, guys. You can go sit with your mom and dad.
Thank you, Greg, and thank you, kids. Well, it's time to turn to our next hymn this morning, which is hymn number 492. 492 is Let Your Heart Be Broken. And I'll ask you to please stand again as we sing 492 together. Please remain standing as we read God's word this morning. This coming from Isaiah 29, verses 11 through 19. I'll give you a moment to find that if you have your Bibles handy. Our wireless systems are having little green fits lately, so I'm preaching wired today. I think it'll work. Isaiah 29, 11 through 19, reading in Jesus' name. The entire vision will be to you like the words of a sealed book, which when they give it to the one who is literate, saying, "Please read this," he will say, "I cannot, for it is sealed." Then the book will be given to the one who is illiterate, saying, "Please read this." And he will say, "I cannot read." Then the Lord said, "Because their people draw near with their words and honor me with their lip service, but they remove their hearts far from me, and their reverence for me consists of tradition learned by rote. Therefore, behold, I will once again deal marvelously with this people, wondrously marvelous. And the wisdom of their wise men will perish, and the discernment of their discerning men will be concealed. Woe to those who deeply hide their plans from the Lord, and whose deeds are done in a dark place. And they say, 'Who sees us, or who knows us?' You turn things around. Shall the potter be considered as equal with the clay, that what is made would say to its maker, 'He did not make me'? Or what is formed say to him who formed it, 'He has no understanding'? Is it not yet just a little while before Lebanon will be turned into a fertile field, and the fertile field will be considered as a forest? On that day the deaf will hear words of a book, and out of their gloom and darkness the eyes of the blind will see. The afflicted also will increase their gladness in the Lord, and the needy of mankind will rejoice in the Holy One of Israel." This ends the reading of God's word. You may be seated. Okay, so you might remember from last week, we were talking about how, about all the wonderful things and all the gracious things God had done for Israel. God had called Abraham out of a pagan land. He had called Abraham away from his own pagan worship. He created for him a family, protected the family from famine and captivity, led the whole nation of Israel out of Egypt, cleared out all the enemies from in front of Israel, and gave them a ready-made and fruitful land to live in. And it was after all of that that God asked them to serve and worship him faithfully and sincerely. And so looking at everything God had done for them, they answered that they will. And they did okay for a while, all right? But it did happen eventually that they turned their hearts away from God. They started worshiping other gods and started abandoning the one true God. And so as they kept doing this over and over again, God kept sending prophets to Israel to remind them who he was and to call them to return to faith in him alone. But their hearts kept turning away from God despite everything he had done for them. And so we get to this text here for today. It's been roughly 600 years since Joshua spoke those words we heard last week. Those words, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." For 600 years, God had been incredibly patient with Israel as they keep serving other gods. But now, finally, God turns them over, gives them over entirely to their own sin. Israel had hardened their hearts so severely against God by this time that God had made it impossible for them to hear his word. Everything that God had said through his prophets had become, for them, like a book that is sealed, that you can't open. And they've become like someone who is illiterate and couldn't read the words, even if they could open it. And more specifically, it's the leaders of Israel, it's religious leaders, it's high priests, it's kings. These are the ones who God calls literate in this text today. The ones that should have been leading in the people in proper fear and service of the Lord, these are the literate ones. But since they had so persistently abandoned God and neglected his teachings, God's word is now sealed from them. They no longer have access to his teachings. And the words Isaiah is speaking here are quite literally falling on deaf ears. And the poor illiterate people, well, those are the common people of Israel. They're the ones who were directly impacted by their leaders' neglect of God's word. You see, it had been so long since God's word was properly and faithfully taught that the people had become completely ignorant of who God is. And even if they were to encounter the truth of God's word, they wouldn't so much as recognize it. And so God describes the fruit of their quite pitiful spiritual state. They're putting on the pretense of worshiping God. They say what seem to be the right words, and they pay lip service to God. But in their hearts, they couldn't be further away from God. Everything they do in quote-unquote worship has nothing to do with God's truth, but is merely the empty tradition, empty repetition of traditions made by men. Stuff made up by men and learned by rote. And what's worse, the evil things that people are doing at this time are done under the pretense that God simply doesn't exist. The way these people carry out their lives is by thinking, it doesn't matter much matter what I do. It doesn't matter what I do. No one's watching. No one knows what I'm doing. Certainly not this God that the prophets keep blabbering on about. This God we're supposed to be fearing and serving, he doesn't see anything, and he doesn't know anything. And so I can do whatever I feel is right, and it's all good. After all, he didn't make me. Even if he did, he has no real understanding of me or what I do. Now, does this sound a little bit like the world we live in today? Yeah, it kind of does. There are a lot of people out there who live their lives convinced that God doesn't exist. Or at least convinced that God doesn't care a whip about what they do with their lives. Just in our own society, we see a new brand of hedonism. A brand of, hey, if it feels right, do it. It doesn't much matter what I do so long as no one's watching. And no one's watching because God doesn't exist. Or God doesn't care what they do. That's the mode of thinking going on. We live and breathe among so many people who are spiritually blind and spiritually deaf. And it's as if they've never heard or read just how wonderful and awesome God is. And to make matters worse, we have quote-unquote Christian leaders who are abjectly rejecting who God is and failing to teach their people to properly fear and serve him. We've got churches scattered throughout this land whose teachers have come up with their own ideas about who God is, and they're failing to teach the truth about God, even when it's right before their very eyes. Churches that teach that God is all love and nothing but love, failing to teach that God is also just and must punish for sin. Churches where Christ never really had to go to the cross because God is just too loving to punish sinners. You've got churches teaching that Christ's death on the cross is wonderful for them, but who are unwilling to allow his death to apply to others. Instead, throwing nothing out there but condemnation for sin, condemnation at sinners just like them, and never preaching an ounce of the gospel. Never preaching the good news of Jesus Christ crucified. And you have still yet other teachers that teach that God is some kind of a genie in a bottle or a cosmic vending machine who grants your every wish, gives you your every desire. If only you would pray hard enough, believe hard enough, that he will give you that expensive car and that big house and that six-figure salary. In short, we're living in a land that, at least in part, looks an awful lot like Israel during Isaiah's time. We've got ministers of God who have failed to teach his word, and who instead are teaching their own ideas. And we've got people who have been led astray by those teachings and are completely illiterate when it comes to knowing who God really is. Now jump back in time with me to when Isaiah was preaching to Israel. There's a promise here that God will do a wonderful and marvelous act of judgment upon Israel's leaders. The wisdom of their wise men will disappear, and discernment of their discerning men will be concealed. God is going to perform an incredible act that will put all of their teachings to shame and expose them for the lies that they are. God is going to send one who will show that the world, through its wisdom, did not come to know God. God was well pleased through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. That's 1 Corinthians 1:21, in case you want to check that later. God is going to send one who came so that those who do not see may see, and that those who see may become blind. That's John 9:39, if you want to check that later. And through this marvelous and wonderful act of sending Jesus Christ to be crucified for sinners, God puts all the supposedly wise teaching of men to shame and brings truth to the spiritually starving, spiritually illiterate people he so longs to save. And so it's through the sending of his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, that God has truly made Lebanon into a great and wonderful fertile field. He has opened the ears of the deaf to hear his words. He has opened the eyes of the blind to remove them from gloom and darkness, so that they could instead see a great light. And he has increased the gladness of the afflicted and the needy, as they rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. Don't you know that that's all of us? In the sinfulness that has been passed on from generation to generation, we have inherited that same spiritual blindness, deafness, and illiteracy that God is speaking about here. But through Jesus Christ and the teaching of his word, God has opened our eyes, opened our ears, and caused us to hear and understand the wonderful and marvelous work he has done. We are living in the time when this promise God made to Israel has come to pass. And we are living in, and we are enjoying the fruits of that promise. And so as we come in contact with the world, with all its failures to preach Christ crucified for sinners, with all its inhabitants spiritually blinded by the world and its teachings, we go out there and get angry, right? Get mad at them. No. We go out there and proclaim that promise Isaiah made to Israel. We proclaim that that promise has now happened. If you get the chance, you can go out there and you can expose the lack of wisdom taught by those pastors and leaders who are teaching their own ideas about God. Opening this once sealed book, opening it to them and showing them the indescribable wonders of a God that is currently unknown to them, the wonders of a God that they have made way too small. This word, God's word, is no longer a sealed book, and in it contains the power to take someone who has turned their back on the truth, to take someone who has turned their back on God, and turn them back, to repent them to the true God who has revealed himself in Holy Scripture. And to give you an example of what that looks like, I want to share a story with you about a man that I greatly admire. His name is Thomas Oden. Tom grew up in a pretty solid Christian family. You know, his household was pretty solidly Christian. But in his teen years, he started to rebel against what he'd been taught. You know, that happens. And during this time when he was a teen, what has been called the social gospel was real popular during this time. And what the social gospel did is it took Christ and turned him into some kind of a radical social engineer. Took Christ and made his sole purpose to bring down the rich and elevate the poor. It took Christ and completely ignored the fact that he was the actual savior of men's souls. And so this being Tom's newfound passion, he became a Methodist pastor. And he grew more and more liberal in his thinking about God, developing a theology about God that looked nothing like the God of the Bible. But despite being completely off the mark, Tom was an incredibly bright man. And he was soon hired on as a professor in the religion department of Drew University. And it was here that another professor, a Jewish man of all things, told Tom that he would benefit greatly as a Christian. He would learn greatly if he were to expand his studies into looking at the apostles of the New Testament. Expand his studies into the way the New Testament writings were understood by the early church. And so Tom did just that. And as he pored over God's word, and he studied deeply into its writings, and as he studied the writings of the early church, Tom began to understand just how off the mark he was. God's word had begun to put his wisdom to shame. It began to open his eyes and open his ears and work truth, God's truth, into Tom's heart. And after many years of study and many more years of writing, in 1992, Thomas had completed a 3-volume systematic theology that has become one of the best, one of the most conservative systematic theologies to come out of this current generation. One that's sitting on my shelf right now, and I use a lot. Can God change the beliefs and heart of someone who has abandoned the truth of his teachings? Yeah, he can. He does it every day. He does it every day because he has opened this book. And then this book has the power to open eyes and open ears and reveal truth. And this Thomas Oden guy is just one example of how that happens. But you see, that's only one side of the coin that Isaiah is preaching here. God wants to bring the man-made wisdom of false teachers to nothing so that he can bring them into the truth. But the other thing we see here in our text are the ordinary folks who have been led astray by these false teachers. There's a lot of work to be done there too, right? And God certainly has a lot of pity for those who have been blinded and deafened by the people who have failed to teach his truth. But again, remember that the promise here is that through Jesus Christ, eyes and ears are opened, and those who are in darkness will be shown the light. Those who are afflicted and needy will find joy in the Lord after hearing and believing the truth about Jesus Christ. And so all of us are sent out into this world, not to stay on top of the mountain, like Greg was talking about earlier, but we are sent out into the world to bring the good news of Christ crucified for sinners to those who right now are blind and deaf. Yeah, I know it's frustrating to look around and see a bunch of people who don't know their left hand from the right when it comes to God's word. It's aggravating to see people who live as if there's no God at all and who do whatever they feel like whenever they feel like it. but you. You, having once been there yourself, you get to bring this wonderfully marvelous news of Jesus Christ to your neighbors and your coworkers and your friends. You get to bring this incredible word out there into the world. And you get to bring this good news to all of the afflicted. You know, I like that word, afflicted. I've heard it said once, and it's so true, that God's word does two things. It comforts the afflicted, and it afflicts the comfortable. Right? If you're really comfortable with yourself, God's law is going to show you. Maybe you ought not be. But if you're afflicted by the sin that God's word shows you, the gospel will comfort you. But you get to go out there. You get to go out there bringing God's word, all of it, both God's law and God's gospel. The law that afflicts the comfortable and the gospel that comforts the afflicted. You get to go out there and bring God's word and watch it open the eyes of the blind. You get to watch it make the deaf hear again. You get to watch it bring folks out of darkness and into light. Because this word is centered in and rooted in the wonderful and marvelous thing that God did through Jesus Christ. So do we live in a world that is full of people just following what other people teach instead of what God teaches? Yeah, we do. But never, ever forget that what God promised to do in our scripture today, the wonderful and marvelous act that makes the blind see and makes the deaf hear, the wonderful and marvelous act that has already happened when Jesus Christ came to die on the cross and rise again to life, that has happened. And now that that has been accomplished, you get to go out there and proclaim this wonderful truth to those who need to hear it. And you know, maybe, just maybe, you get to enjoy some time with someone who says to you, hey, open that book and teach me to read. Let us pray. Our Lord God and Heavenly Father, we know that left to our own wisdom, we would be just as blind and deaf and ignorant as the people that Isaiah had to speak against in his day. But Lord, you have seen fit to reveal Jesus Christ to us, to reveal the truth of your word to us through these holy scriptures. And so, Lord, I pray that we would be faithful in proclaiming all of its truth. Not one part of it in neglecting another. Not preaching the law only and not the gospel. Not preaching the gospel only and not the law. But preaching it all in its entirety. Because you, Lord God, have revealed yourself to us in it. And Lord, you have placed us in amongst a people who are currently blind and deaf, who are walking in darkness and gloom. And so, Lord, we just pray that you make us your vessel, that you would put us in contact with those who need to hear the truth of your word and give us the strength to proclaim it all boldly. For we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.